ambassador to hear the chief of Columbia's Continental Staff, William L. Shirer. We take you now to Berlin.
Hello, America. Hello, CBS. This is Berlin. The sands are running fast.
And hello. This is America, where the sands are also running fast. Let's check in at the front lines of the fight to save democracy.
Tyranny is rising in the White House, and a man has declared himself our king. So I would like to know, rather, the people would like to know, what you, congressmen, and your fellow congressmen are going to do to rein in the megalomaniac in the White House.
That was a pissed off voter sounding the alarm at a public town hall meeting in a deep red district. And this is America. I'm your host, Rachel Bitticoffer.
And I'm Aaron Murphy. We've been sounding the alarm since day one of Trump 2.0, and we're glad you're with us.
Holy shit! From town halls to tariffs, purges to polls, we've got a lot to cover this week, Aaron. Let's start with some badass Democratic women governors holding the line.
Yeah, we're paying attention to Governor Janet Mills of Maine and Governor Kathy Hochul of New York, both of whom got into public tiffs with Trump. Here's Governor Hochul after Trump tried to do away with New York City's congestion pricing, then had the White House officially tweet a Time magazine cover of the president wearing a golden crown.
At 1:58 p.m., President Donald Trump tweeted, "Long live the king." I'm here to say New York hasn't labored under a king in over 250 years. And we are not. We sure as hell are not going to start now.
Then Governor Hochul held up the Time magazine cover and took the gloves off.
Think about this. Next time you're stuck in traffic.
On Friday, Trump met with the nation's governors at the White House, where he singled out Maine's governor, Janet Mills, and whether her state was complying with his executive order barring transgender athletes.
But I understand Maine. Is Maine here, the governor of Maine?
Well,
are you not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and
federal laws. We are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Just hours later, the Department of Education, which Trump wants to completely destroy, launched an investigation into the state of Maine, which sounds nothing at all like what a fascist government would do, Aaron.
Well, speaking of fascism and the weird dude with the dead cat for a hairdo that you mentioned on last week's show, that's Argentinian President Javier Milei. Well, he was among the few South Americans invited to attend the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC, with a chainsaw as a gift for the world's richest man.
President Milei has a gift for me. This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy. Chainsaw!
Let's just say Elon Musk was giving off some serious Parker Posey and White Lotus Season 3 vibes. And on Saturday, his chainsaw for bureaucracy massacred its way into a couple million email inboxes with what I guess is government efficiency in Earth 2.0. Musk ordered all federal employees to send an email with, quote, approximately 5 bullet points summarizing their work, which ran squarely into a lawsuit.
By the way, Aaron, I sent Elon my 5 bullet points. Monday, I fucked with Nazis. Tuesday, I fucked with Nazis. Wednesday, I fucked with Nazis. I think you get the point. Listen, here's something I spotted at CPAC that I think everyone should see. And it is this Romanesque sign that's sitting outside of a conference room waiting for an event. And it's called the Third Term Project. And it depicts Trump as Julius Caesar. Like, it is unbelievable. And Trump, of course, is getting support for an unconstitutional third term from his prison toady, Steve Bannon. This kind of language should keep us up at night, folks.
In the future of MAGA is Donald J. Trump. We want Trump in 28. That's what they can't stand. A man like Trump comes along only once or twice in a country's history, right? We want Trump. We want Trump. We want Trump. We want Trump. We want Trump.
We want Trump. gotta love you.
Well, and we have to talk about the other thing Bannon did at CPAC, Rachel. And no, we're not going to call it a Roman salute on this show. Let's hear the clip.
The only way that they win is we retreat. And we're not going to retreat. We're not going to surrender. We're not going to quit. Fight, fight, fight. Amen.
So if you missed the visual, that was Bannon with a smirk on his face giving a Sig Heil to the CPAC crowd, just like Elon Musk did on Inauguration Day. Of course, MAGA is trying to downplay the constant and obvious comparisons to Nazism, but the gesture was enough for a hard-right French political leader to cancel his speech at CPAC.
You know, when even neo-Nazi Nick Fuentes says the shit is starting to feel a little uncomfortable.
And I'm saying that, you know?
You got a problem, right? I mean, number one is don't trust whatever a neo-Nazi says, but nonetheless, this is what he said on his podcast about what's happening right now.
And it's getting even a little excessive for me. Bannon goes up there and he's like, Trump is our guy in 28. Person like that only comes around twice in a country's history. We want Trump. And then a straight up salute. And I'm kind of looking around like, is everyone see that? Is everyone rocking with this? This was some sick shit.
And as all of this sick shit happens, Republicans in Congress continue to roll over for their new king. The Senate on Thursday confirmed Kash Patel. Kash Patel, who wants to turn the FBI headquarters into a museum for the deep state, as the director of the FBI.
Aaron, I just got to correct you on one point. Don't forget, it's Crazy Eyes Kash Patel, okay? We got to be doing that branding work.
On Sunday, Trump also announced conservative media host Dan Bongino will serve as deputy director of the agency. And also over the weekend, Trump booted the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General C.Q. Brown, and two other top officers. Brown is the second black person to have served in that role, but Secretary Pete Hegseth claimed General Brown had pushed a woke agenda.
You know, in terms of the Friday night general purging, I mean, Trump is ahead of other aspiring autocrats. And it's very clear to me, not just that he moved Brown, I mean, who is much more qualified for the job than the guy who's replacing him. The guy who's replacing him is a retired lieutenant general who they have to give a star to elevate up to the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairmanship. So that's bad enough. But what he also did and has gotten a lot less attention is that he began purging out military lawyers at the top level in the JAG. I know this week we're expecting to see purges of civilian employees at the Pentagon.
Yeah, this week we can expect the Pentagon to announce the firings of 5,400 civilian probationary workers.
And of course we have, you know, other federal employees clearing out their offices just as we speak. Aaron, so we're now 5 weeks into this presidency. The honeymoon's over, folks. We're starting to see some rough edges around Doge and Elon's chainsaw for democracy. We're starting to see some public opinion polls roll in that doesn't look good for Trump. We've got a Washington Post poll that finds 57% think Trump is exceeding his authority. And you can't get to 57% without the Democrats, the preponderance of independents, and some Republicans indicating that.
Yeah, 53% disapprove of his job performance. Only 45% approve. That is underwater.
It is. And you know, we're in this honeymoon period, and that's frustrating as it was for people. I mean, the Christmas was a frustrating time for everyone, but it was particularly frustrating for me because I understood like the tuned out part of the electorate, which I hammer to you guys all the time, that if you listen to us, you're not a normal American voter. Most people are tuned out. And we saw a honeymoon effect, like, you know, every time there's a new transition to a new leader with Biden, with Obama, with Trump, not the first time because it was so controversial, but the second time, you see this national sigh, basically, that the election is over and da 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 da. And so seeing that honeymoon eroding so quickly is a real testament to seeing Donald Trump destroy the federal government in plain sight.
Right.
I also saw a CNN poll. I don't know if you saw this, Aaron. But it said that 55% said they felt like Trump wasn't paying enough attention to the country's most important problem, which, guess what? Isn't Putin, isn't DEI, isn't any of this shit. What it is pocketbook issues, right? And 62% of people in the CNN poll said that he's not doing enough to lower the price of goods, right? And wait till these tariffs start to hit them. So 62%, those are real signs of life. And I think we ought to take what we can get.
Well, and rigorous news reporting is essential to where we go from here and how that affects these numbers. This one made me spit my coffee.
Oh, Aaron, don't spit your coffee. Did you know it's up 50% already? I hoarded a whole bunch of Starbucks espresso beans in my cabinet, and I'm feeling pretty good about that decision. Sorry about that.
Hold on. No. That's a good idea. Well, NPR took a deep dive into Doge and its website, and its claim that it has saved taxpayers $16 billion. Turns out, though, that it was a clerical error. The actual number was only $8.5 billion, which may not seem like a big deal to somebody like Elon Musk, but it matters when thousands of public servants are now standing in soup lines, which they are. And maybe that's why various public town hall style events around the country aren't going so well for Republicans who now own this mess.
Yeah, that clip we played at the top of the show comes from a town hall meeting in Georgia, deep red district in deep red Georgia, right? It was a meeting, a town hall. And by the way, I just want to take the PSA here. People are home. The members are home right now in this for this next week coming up to do town halls. If you have a Republican within driving distance of you doing a town hall,
yeah,
go to it. Okay. All right. So anyway, that was Congressman Rick McCormick. Okay. He's a MAGA loyalist. And what he was trying to do was toe the MAGA line we see online all the time. And here's the music he faced when he tried to claim that.
I'm going to come and stand in front of you and take your questions and try to answer them as honestly as I can. Then let's do that.
Yeah, and when Congressman McCormick tried to what about things, his pissed off constituents booed loudly.
I remember having the same discussion with Republicans when Biden was elected.
And in California, Trump's transportation secretary and former reality TV star Sean Duffy held a news conference announcing that he wants to kill the long-term high-speed rail project linking LA to San Francisco. But you could say the entire event went off the rails.
So if you want to go protest somewhere, if you want to shout at someone, go to the governor's mansion. Go talk to Democrats in the legislature who have brought us this crappy project. Right? So we've seen over the course of the last month what Doge has exposed with regard to fraud, waste, and abuse.
Yeah, I mean, now I want to move you guys to the most disturbing clip of the week, even though I just suggested you go to these town halls, okay? Because this shit is straight from the Republic of Gilead. This weekend at a public town hall meeting held by the Republican Central Committee in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, it was a public high school town hall style event. And the clip involves several men, all in black, not wearing a uniform, refusing to identify themselves, clearly not local law enforcement, forcibly dragging an unarmed, relatively calm female protester. It wasn't some kind of loony. It was just a woman out of her seat.
In a situation
who are you?
Where
who are you? Who the fuck are you?
Come on, let's go.
Who are you? Let me see your badge. Where's your badge? Who the fuck are you?
To hear the legislators.
It's terrifying stuff. And listeners, I know you don't want this to be your America, but it's going to come down to how much you're willing to fight it. And you got to put your own skin in the game, right? So if you live in a Republican state with Republican senators or Republican members of the House, you know, make their lives uncomfortable. They have to know that this is, you know, what they're doing is unacceptable. And the only people who can make that argument are regular American citizens. They're not going to listen to blue-haired, you know, leftist protesters in pink pussy hats.
Ma'am,
who the fuck are you?
Just cooperate. It'll be 100 times better.
Yeah, that's what they say to rape victims, you fucking piece of shit.
Cooperate.
You refuse to identify yourself.
They're going to listen to regular Americans.
Well, and I got to tell you, as a former journalist, I'm going to weigh in on the press coverage of this ordeal because I think it's a major part of this problem. The coverage sucked. As of this recording, most of the local news stories about it have treated this very much as a he said, she said story, as if it were just some rabble-rouser at some typical event. Reporters, editors, producers, there's nothing typical about what happened in Coeur d'Alene this weekend. And if that's how you want to treat it, the chainsaw is coming for you. Your job is to cover when people elected to positions of power abuse that power, in this case, physical force, and to call it abuse and physical force when it's as plain as day. Press, you failed miserably.
I mean, keep in mind, you can't see the video, folks, so I could encourage you to go online and see it. I know I've tweeted it out. These men that show up are young men, and they're wearing just all black. Very SS feeling, dude. So, as for the Republicans not brave enough to hold their public town hall meetings, well, some of them are appearing on TV news shows where the questions aren't much easier. Here's newly minted Utah Senator John Curtis speaking with Face the Nation's Margaret Brennan on Sunday.
If I could say one thing to Elon Musk, it's like, please put a dose of compassion in this. These are real people. These are real lives. These are mortgages. It's a false narrative to say we have to cut and you have to be cruel to do it as well. We can do both.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just about efficiency, though. I mean, the president himself has characterized this as getting rid of bad people.
You know, I regret that narrative. We all know, you know, thousands, millions of federal workers who are good people, who work hard.
Yeah, it's pretty rich, right? I mean, the Republican Party, all I can say to them is when you plant ice, you're going to harvest wind, right? And they've been planting ice since 2015 with Donald Trump, really 2016 when the whole party rallied around him when he won. The lack of personal responsibility from a party that supposedly defines itself on personal responsibility is absolutely stunning, wouldn't you say, Aaron?
Yeah, he says he regrets the narrative. Come on, Senator Curtis. This is much more about regretting things. It is your job. You have a constitutional responsibility to stand up and push back against this guy. And the fact that you can't even articulate a clear pushback when asked about it directly on national TV tells us everything we need to know.
I tweeted this out. I've been talking about it quite a bit. You know, I study campaigns and elections. Primary challenges have traditionally been the strongest motivator of member behavior, elected official behavior, because they fear that primary challenge. But now it's not. It's more than that. These people are, you know, why they are doing the ostrich head in the sand bit. Because they're afraid that if they stand up to him now, it's not just going to be a primary challenger. It's going to be harassment at home, fear, doxing, you know, at the expense of Mitt Romney's intensive security personnel. I mean, lucky for him, he's a millionaire, right? But he's got to pay for that shit himself, dude. And, you know, I mean, like, now we're asking people to stand up to, like, political violence, right, in the face of that. So, but Republicans are crazy if they think that once they're done with the left, they won't come for them.
So let's zoom out from the U.S. and take a look at the big worldwide picture for a minute. This week, the United States voted against a UN resolution backed by most of Europe, demanding that Russia withdraw from the territory it seized from Ukraine.
Let's say it another way and let this sink in, guys. Donald Trump has been taking Vladimir Putin's side. Okay? He said that Ukraine started the war. He said that Zelensky is a dictator.
A dictator without elections. Zelensky better move fast or he's not going to have a country left. Got to move fast because that war is going in the wrong direction. In the meantime, we're successfully negotiating an end to the war with Russia, something I'll admit that only Trump is going to be able to do in the Trump administration. We're going to be able to do it. I think Putin even admitted that.
He also lied, by the way, and said he has a public approval rating of 4%. It's more like 57%, okay? And the reason they don't have elections right now in Ukraine is they have fucking Russians in their country, guys. And, you know, to tell you the truth, on Monday, he did a press conference with President Macron, who's here desperately trying to hold the European alliances together, right? The thing that has kept America safe and prosperous for 80 years. And again, he, you know, the media said to him, You called Zelensky a dictator. Do you believe Putin's a dictator too? And he refused to say that Putin was a dictator. It's so sickening.
Ugh. Well, and Rachel, as a scholar of the rise of Nazi Germany in the 1930s, how does this resonate with you? And what do we need to take away from it in this moment?
I mean, it's about appeasement, 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 right? I mean, this story in particular, it's crazy, right? Basically, what Trump wants to do, he had a summit in Saudi Arabia with Russia that did not include Ukraine. Like, that is some Neville Chamberlain shit right there, Aaron. I mean, he had a summit where he gave Czechoslovakia away to the Germans and wouldn't let the Czechs into the negotiating room. So there's that. And I gotta say, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker delivered his State of the State address last week. And at the end of the 40-minute speech, he really turned up the heat, dude, with a dire warning for state lawmakers about waking up to the reality that we're watching our government collapse into an autocracy before our very eyes.
I do not invoke the specter of Nazis lightly, but I know the history intimately and have spent more time than probably anyone in this room with people who survived the Holocaust. Here's what I've learned. The root that tears apart your house's foundation begins as a seed of distrust and hate and blame. The seed that grew into a dictatorship in Europe a lifetime ago didn't arrive overnight. It started with everyday Germans mad about inflation and looking for someone to blame. I'm watching with a foreboding dread what is happening in our country right now. President who watches a plane go down in the Potomac and suggests without facts or findings that a diversity hire is responsible for the crash. Or the Missouri Attorney General who just sued Starbucks, arguing that consumers pay higher prices for their coffee because the baristas are too female and non-white. The authoritarian playbook is laid bare here. They point to a group of people who don't look like you and tell you to blame them for your problems. I just have one question. What comes next? After we've discriminated against, deported, or disparaged all the immigrants and the gay and lesbian and transgender people, the developmentally disabled, the women and the minorities, once we've ostracized our neighbors and betrayed our friends, after that, when the problems we started with are still there staring us in the face, what comes next? All the atrocities of human history lurk in the answer to that question. And if we don't want to repeat history, then for God's sake, in this moment, we better be strong enough to learn from it.
Aaron, it's so tough to cram all this important shit into one half an hour, but that's our commitment to you, and our time is about up. A huge thank, as always, to our followers and subscribers on Substack, particularly our paid subscribers who are making this magic happen. You can find us at thecycle@substack.com. You can always follow along the Daily Fire Hose with me in real time on social media, both on Twitter and Blue Sky. I cross post between the two when I can. And we're going to finally fire up the Instagram at Rachel Bitticopper.
Oh, yeah. I also want to give a huge shout out to the paid subscribers of The Cycle on Substack. Thank you, guys. We'll be traveling next week. So while we're staying checked in, this podcast will be back in a couple of weeks. And Rachel, we like to end the show with something hopeful.
The whole world's burning and Aaron's going on motherfucking vacation for a week. No, I'm just kidding. He's got an important thing to go do. Okay, I'm excited about this one because it's from your home state, the bright red cowboy state.
The cowboy state and the equality state. Anyway, on Friday, a committee of the Wyoming legislature heard online testimony on a bill that they call the What is a Woman Act. Earlier, Wyoming lawmakers passed legislation, quote, prohibiting the state and its political subdivisions from requiring the use of preferred pronouns. So when this constituent had her time in front of the committee and its male chairman, she used it to make utter fools of them. This is a textbook example of pivot, belittle, and attack. It's a strategy we detail in our book, Hit 'Em Where It Hurts, How to Save Democracy by Beating Republicans at Their Own Game. Back soon.
Hello. Thank you, Madam Chairman. As the Senate overwhelmingly voted yes.
You can call me Mr. Chairman if you want.
Well, I cannot be compelled to use your preferred pronouns as you have all voted.
Wait a minute. We're talking about preferred pronouns. A lot of people are. I prefer to be called Chairman Trench. That's my preferred pronoun.
I know. And you all voted that preferred pronouns cannot be compelled speech in SF77. Anyway, my name is Britt Borrell, and I'm a constituent calling in from Casper to voice my opposition.